so some of us will think, well, do I even need to be right? But if we say that we, if we say this, we need, we don't need to be right, then it's saying something about God and it's saying something about us. It's saying that God is not as good as we think he is, and it says that we're much better than we think we are. And yet I think even just if you reflect on when is it that you actually feel right, as I thought through that, most of the time I feel wrong. Most of the time I feel at least in the balance of some mixture of right and wrong. But to come into God's presence, we need to be right. We need to have the ability to come into his presence. And so it's interesting to say, God doesn't tell Abraham, don't worry about rightness. God doesn't tell Abraham, you need to be right, and so you better do something. He doesn't. God doesn't even say to Abraham, you need to be right, so I'll forgive you. Notice that is forgiveness doesn't show up here. God says to Abraham, you need to be right, and so because you're believing in me, I'm going to reckon to you righteousness. What's the difference between being given righteousness and being forgiven? If you're forgiven, it means your wrongness, your errors are erased, and you're left at zero. But if you're reckoned as righteous, if you are counted as righteous, it means your account that's at zero, at negative, goes to zero, and it keeps moving forward into that positive territory. So to be right means not that I, to be forgiven means I'm clean and I better live a great life to make sure I don't fall into negative again, or so that I build up those positive numbers so that God will receive me. But to be counted as righteous means that I have, God has given me all the points, all the money, all the value I need in my righteousness account so that I can come into his presence. What that does is it frees us from having to try to manufacture that, to worry about, like my weekend went horribly. I responded in all unfaithful ways to God this weekend. So can I come into his presence Monday morning? Was church enough to clean that situation up? That kind of worrying, that kind of wondering, can I come into God's presence, is completely taken away when we see what God does here with Abraham. Abraham believes God and was counted to him as rightness. It's being counted as rightness means guaranteed access all the time, because my account is always more than sufficient to come into God's presence. So, and Paul's saying that's what takes place when we have faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus Christ is the same thing as Abraham's faith in God's future promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of that future promise. And so when Abraham has faith in God, he's looking ahead to the promise, the way that God would take care of his sin and give him righteousness. As we have faith in Christ, we're looking back a little ways to the cross in the way that Jesus has delivered for us, not only forgiveness, but righteousness credited to our account so that we might come into God's presence. And then it says in the next lines, verse 7, so therefore, those from faith are sons of Abraham. So to be a son in the Bible means to be characterized by, to be in the club of, to have fellowship and union with, connection with. So we're in the club of Abraham. Abraham is, God started this righteousness so he might come into his presence with Abraham. Those who have faith in Christ, it's the fulfillment of that for them. So God reckons to us righteousness, rightness. So that feeling, that desire that we would be right, it's a true desire. The question is, how will you attain it? And the Bible says it's the way that we get right with God is by faith in what he has done and what his son has done for us on our behalf. So do you feel right this morning? That sigh is what we often feel. We don't feel right, and yet a lot of that's because we're not living out of faith, right? We don't realize faith has delivered once for all rightness for us. And so it's something that it's easy to forget, to miss, to lay aside. And yet the righteous will live by faith. Faith is that the way we're supposed to, the way we come to God, the way we're supposed to live. We need to keep coming back to that. What has God imputed to us? What has God said is true about us? He's made us right. So what about right, not wrong? Just like that scenario of if you're having a discussion with your spouse and you happen to be right and they say, yes, okay, I'm wrong, you're right. How soon is it before you become wrong? Right? We actually, if we try to be right by our own ability, by our own merits, by our own accomplishments, within the seeds of that is our own destruction to become wrong. Because if it's all based on what I've done, very quickly I move from being right to boasting, to putting myself above someone else and starting to treat them differently. Right? So if your boss gives you a great review, or your grades come back just superb and excellent, for a bit of a time you feel right, you feel complete, you feel set. But then it's human nature to start to say, look what I've done. I've done a great job, and look, I've done better than the guy next to me. And that starts to color and flavor how I treat other people and how I see myself. And so anytime that we're going to try to be right on what by our own abilities, the seeds already for becoming wrong, for wounding those nearby us, not honoring those we love, not loving our neighbor, all the seeds of all that are present in that trying to be right in our own ability. And so God's system for being right is by faith. Right? Five times we have here that it's by faith. It's a gift, right? Because Abraham doesn't do anything to deserve rightness. Abraham believes. Abraham receives God's promise. He believes in it, and God credits him with rightness. But you know, there's a Jewish commentary called the Aramaic Targums on texts like this that Paul would have known or was in the time of Paul. And you know what they say? They say in Genesis 15, when God says credits to him rightness because of his faith, it says he got credited rightness because he was such a good guy, because he had rescued Lot in chapter 14 and from these four kings. And so the Jewish milieu of this day was saying, no, Abraham didn't receive a gift of rightness. He earned it. He deserved it. God gave it to him because he was special, because he was better than all the rest. But that's not what Paul is saying is taking place here at all. And that's not the Bible's understanding from, if you put the New Testament and the Old Testament together, we are credited with rightness by faith as part of God's gift to us. So then we can't boast. We can't say, I did a better job than the guy next to me. That seed of our own wrongness, that seed of our own destruction is not present because I'm not able to say, look what I've done. I can't start to boast in what I've done because I didn't do anything. But it was given to me as a gift. And so actually, if the only way that rightness stays right and becomes this resource for us is if it's a gift, if it's something that we didn't earn and so we're very, very thankful for. You know, like on your credit card, there's different ways to earn points, right? You make your purchases and you get points. But sometimes you get points just for signing up, right? Sometimes you get points. I once got points when somebody just called me, a customer service rep, and said, will you answer some questions? I answered some questions. We'll give you 15,000 points. I'm like, all right, great. But I sort of deal with those, I sort of see those points differently a little bit. If they try to take away the points from what I bought, I'm like, no way. I earned these points. These are my points. These aren't your points. I had to pay real money for these things. But the other points, maybe I don't react so selfishly over them. I don't react quite so, like, possessive. Like, they're mine, and if you take them away from me, I'm going to the world's going to end. So we react differently when we earn something ourselves versus it's given to us. And so when God gives us rightness, it gives us the seeds actually of a beautifulness, of a humbleness of being right. We looked earlier about being self-righteous. If we really believe God has given us rightness apart from what we deserve, we can't be self-righteous. And all the ugly stuff that we know and that our culture knows goes along with that. And so if rightness is going to become beautiful in how we treat other people and how we respond to God and how we view ourselves, it has to come by faith as a gift. And then notice there's a very interesting word in verse 8. Preach the gospel beforehand. Beforehand to Abraham. It's the only time in the whole New Testament that this word occurs. So it's literally, yeah, there's the word euangelion, is preaching the good news, proclaiming the good news. So it says God is proclaiming the good news in advance, beforehand, to Abraham. But what is it how does he summarize that good news? In you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He doesn't summarize it as, Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great, right? That's not how so look at Genesis 12. There's like four pieces to this promise that God gives Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, so you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will dishonor those who curse you. Paul doesn't summarize the gospel as I'll make your name great. I'll make you a great nation. I'll protect you. He summarizes it as in you all the nations, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He summarizes the gospel in other terms, in terms for other people. That the gospel came to Abraham, it was to produce something beautiful for others. Yes, for himself. He promises him identity and power and prosperity, but he also says it's supposed to be beautiful for other people as well. And so in the argument here, Paul is speaking in those terms so that because the Galatians are the Gentiles, right? And so he's trying to help them connect with, let's go back to Abraham. You are part of the Gentiles that are being blessed by Abraham's faith. That you have faith in Jesus is the same thing as Abraham has faith in God. But also, it's showing us that the gospel is supposed to produce good things for other people, not just good things for us, not just so that I feel peaceful and powerful and that the world's not crushing me. That, yes. But also that if we have faith in Christ, if we have the faith of Abraham, good things are supposed to come out of us into other people's lives. And so is that part of what rightness looks like in your life? First, we might ask, where do you need to remember some aspect of rightness in your life? Is it your identity? You need to realize that you do have that what you need to come into God's presence? Is it related to your identity, to your security, to your anxiety? Or is it also you need to remember that the gospel coming to you, righteousness coming to you, is supposed to produce good things for those around you? How is that rightness sitting? How are you holding it and sitting and reflecting on it so that blessings come out of you into the lives of other people? Robert Jensen, the bottom quote in the first page, says, "The church has a mission to see to the speaking of the gospel, whether to the world as message of salvation or to God as appeal and praise." I like the way that he puts the church's mission as kind of two sides of one coin, that praise to God and message to those, to our friends, our neighbors, whether it's word or deed message, are two parts of the same coin. It's two aspects of the same one mission that the church has and that we as Christ followers have. So we have our rightness for others as well. So the Bible gives us this one consistent approach from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis through Galatians to Revelation. that God wants to make us right so that we might dwell in his presence, that we might enjoy his presence, that we might have the freedom and the access and the encouragement to come in and meet with him, to know him, to walk with him. But it's only a rightness that comes out of faith that really can produce something beautiful within us, and not something destructive, something beautiful within us, changing us, but also having something beautiful to offer to others. And so Paul says that we who have faith in Christ are blessed with Abraham, with Abraham's faith, that what we have is the same thing in one sense. It's the fullness of what God was doing through Abraham in calling him to faith and blessing him.